Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Jordan Quent, and you are listening to episode 1 of Quentessential. Whoa, what's up, everybody? Man, I'm very excited. Today is a very big day. Right off the bat, I want to explain kind of what's going on here, introduce myself and explain, you know, what this is all going to be about. So I've wanted to do a podcast for a long time, ever since they kind of really got popular the last few years. I've tried a handful of times with different people, didn't work out. Finally, I decided I'll just try it by myself, see how it goes. Had a lot of people tell me that I should do some sort of comedy, and I've always really wanted to. So why not? Let's give it a shot, you know? The goal of this podcast is to be a comedy podcast. I love making people laugh. I make myself laugh all the time. And so that's the goal. Right now, it's just me. I have plans to have guests on. I have people I want to have on. I don't know if I'm consistently going to do every other week with guests or without guests. That's something we'll figure out. But for today, it's just me. I'm the host. And it seems weird to call yourself the host when it's just you. Seems kind of weird, but really it's just a conversation. So you're in your car, you're in your house or whatever. We're just hanging out, just talking to you, telling you some secrets, telling you some, whispering some sweet nothings in your ear. So it's kind of how it's going to be. Like I said, I've always loved making people laugh. It really started when I was a kid. I think like everything does for everybody. I'm the youngest of 6 kids, and my favorite thing growing up and still to this day is making my whole family laugh, but especially my 2 sisters right above me, since we're so close in age. It's funny because my humor now, my whole family's humor is so broken from us laughing at things as kids, and we just really didn't get out of that. And what I mean by that is we talk about poop and farts, I mean, every day with my family and almost immediately once we're all together as a family. And I think my huge love for comedy really started from upsetting my mom by us talking about poop and farts, because really there's nothing better. 5 minutes into family dinner at the dinner table, my sister stands up and rips a huge fart, or we're talking about our poops and how we wish they were better. And our mom gets mad and our dad gets embarrassed, and it's the funniest thing of all time. I think there's nothing better than upsetting your mom, really. But it's so funny how it's such an important thing for my family, poop and farts, that that's really all we talk about to this day. And it's so important to me in my life. I think everybody should have an important... Everybody doesn't act like pooping is important to them, but it's really such a big time in our life and such a huge part of our day. And I'm going to be honest with you. My whole situation there with going to the bathroom has changed in such a good way over the past year or so, because I got a bidet and it's changed my life. Now I feel happier. I don't come out of the bathroom with my head down, beat up, and you know, I don't want to look at my wife because I had such a bad experience in there and I'm sweaty and it's traumatic. It really is, but not anymore. And this all started when my mom and dad redid their house a while ago. They redid their bathroom, the master bathroom, and my dad went all out, got this bidet, and I'd never used one before. So my dad got this bidet, and then I went over there one day, and family dinner, of course, 5 seconds in, we're talking about poop and farts. I asked my dad how the bidet is. He tells me, oh, it's amazing, can't talk better about it. He tells me, you know what, why don't you go give it a shot? And to be honest, it couldn't have been a better day, because I think we probably had something hearty that day. Probably had some meatloaf, some sort of roast and potatoes, something that really serves as the perfect litmus test to see how good this bidet really is going to work. So it was a perfect day. All the stars aligned. So I stand up, I go to the bathroom, and I'll be honest with you, it changed my life. I was kind of nervous because, I mean, it's like a fire hose down there. And it's a sensitive area. I don't touch my ass. I don't really do anything down there. And you've seen people pressure wash their cars, right? And they have the really fast stream and it like could take your skin off on your hand if you touch that stream in, at a car wash, you know? It's kind of like that, but on your anus. So not the right place for it. But turns out it's the perfect place for it. And you think that my parents' bidet doesn't have a dryer function? You're crazy. So here's what happens. Sit down. They have the squatty potty, which if you're not familiar, is revolutionary. And I'm not going to talk about it. We're not sponsored by them. I'm not going to give them free advertising. If they want to talk to me about figuring something out, then we can talk business. But for now, I'm going to skip over it. I go to my parents' house, use the bidet. It's amazing, right? I come out of the bathroom, and I know that my family is sitting on pins and needles waiting for this, because this is a huge day. I'm the guy that talks about poop immediately at the dinner table, and the guy that leads discussions on these bathroom topics used a bidet for the first time it's a big deal for me personally, and I know for my whole family. So I walk out there, and I'm so excited to tell them I had a great experience in there. No cleanup problems, relaxing. Felt like it was a seasoned veteran taking me through for my first time. You know what I mean? I go out there, they're all eating dinner, and it kind of felt like I heard their utensils drop. You know, it gets all silent. They're waiting for my reaction. And they look up, and I see them with stars in their eyes. They're waiting to see what I have to say, and I go, "Loved it!" And they all scream. You know, they're all, yeah, smashing glasses on their heads. It's a huge reason for celebration in the family. And ever since then, I swear, I'll meet a stranger on the street, and I feel the inclination to say, "You know what, sir? Come back to my house and take a shit." Because I have a bidet at my house now. I guess I didn't say that. My parents got me one for Christmas, and it's changed my life. It's made me a better host, because I don't know. I don't care who it is. I will load somebody's food up with spice without them knowing, just so they can use the bidet, because I know they're going to have an amazing experience. And people are skeptical of it. I don't know what the problem is. That's why you got to sneak them some Del Taco hot sauce, El Infierno. Without them knowing, they rush to the bathroom. They'll push an old lady out of the way. They don't care to go to the bathroom. And they don't know that I have a bidet because I don't want to tell them, you know. But they get there and they're sad. They're nervous. They're in a strange person's house. And it's a better toilet bathroom situation than they thought. Another thing too is if you think I don't have one of those putting greens that go around the base of the toilet at my house, then you're crazy, because I do, okay? I'm relaxed. I got the dryer going on down there on the toilet, and I'm sinking putts. So it's the best, okay? I'll do that all day. If I have an itch on my ass, I'll go use the bidet. That's how lazy I am, because I know it's going to do a better job than the human finger. So this has really just been a sponsor ad for bidets, and I'll get back to that, of course, because one of my favorite things are bathroom stories. I think that everybody says they're not funny or acts like they don't have good stories to tell, but they're the best stories of all time because they're so relatable. And it's funny, something just came to mind. When I was at my old job years ago, I was at an engineering firm, so I worked with a bunch of nerds, which is really cool. But I was going to the bathroom one time, just in the public men's room, you know, right there in the office, and I was the only person in there. I was at the urinal by myself, and I hear the door to the bathroom kind of slam open. So of course, it scared me. I look over my shoulder and I see one of these engineers I worked with. He was this, he was probably 40 years old, white guy. He's glasses, shy, a little overweight. He was a really nice guy, but very like private kind of guy, stuck to himself. So he rushes into the bathroom. He sees I'm in there and he kind of slows down. Because he ran in, he has to go to the bathroom real bad, but he kind of slowed down because he noticed someone else was in there. He walks into the handicap stall. Good call, first off. You have to use the handicap stall first. So he walks in there, he sits down, and I'm still going to the bathroom, and I can hear him in there kind of like struggling, and it makes me laugh because I know that first off, I'm excited for him to destroy the toilet. I know he ran in. So I know he has to go. He drinks 5 mugs of coffee every day. So I'm excited for the fireworks, right? But he goes in there, I hear him struggling, and I wonder what the problem is. And I finally realize that he's waiting for me to leave so he can go to the bathroom because he's such a private guy. So because I'm an asshole, I take my time. You know, I stand at the urinal a little bit longer, make sure everything gets out. I'm like, okay, fine, he's not going to go yet. I go to wash my hands, and I'm doing it real slow. I hear him in there kind of like panting, and you can tell he's struggling because he's holding it all in, waiting for me to leave. So, of course, I want to see the grand finale. I want to see the explosion. So I wash under my fingernails. I wash up my arms like a surgeon, taking my time. And I finally get annoyed. This guy is very good, has good endurance. He's holding it in for so long because he wants to do it in private. I get kind of annoyed. I'm like, oh, whatever. I guess I missed my opportunity. I go to leave the bathroom, and then it hits me. I had an epiphany. I go and I grab the door handle to leave. I open the door, and then I just let go of the door handle and let the door shut. So this guy thinks I leave. He destroys the toilet. Like, it sounds like when you turn a hose on for the first time all winter, you know, it's sputtering, and I hear him in there saying like, oh my gosh, whatever. So I start laughing in there. I mean, now he knows I'm in there still. And I just walk out, but oh, it made me so happy that it worked. It's like a Scooby-Doo trick, you know, where they do like the stomping away to make you seem like they're walking away. And oh, it made me so happy. But oh my gosh, I love to think of like an old person listening to this and being like, oh my gosh, oh, this is foul, or whatever old people say, you know, with their dumb dentures. You know, okay, here's my problem. And I'm going to say this publicly. Can we as a society stop acting like old people aren't stupid and annoying? Why do we act like they're not annoying? Old people are so annoying. And I know what everyone's going to say, because I've heard all the excuses, okay? Yeah, but my grandpa is really nice. Oh, my grandma's really sweet. Don't say that about old people. It makes me sad. Oh, okay. Did I say that? No. I have a grandpa. He's great. He makes me laugh. He's hilarious. Did I say he's stupid? No. But old people are annoying, and you know that they're annoying, okay? What it really is, old people are like Shih Tzus or something. They're annoying, and nobody likes them besides their owner. And you know it's true. Every person I meet who talks about their grandpa like he's this amazing figure, he's just some old guy. He's not my grandpa. I don't care. It's the same thing with kids, you know? I have kids, and I love them so much. That doesn't mean I'm not going to say kids aren't annoying, because they are. But, you know, one time I was in California with some friends, and I was talking about how old people are dumb because they're annoying and they complain. And this one guy we were with kept getting so offended. He's like, oh, here we go, talking about old people again. He's like, you know, I love my grandpa. It's like, I didn't say anything about your grandpa. I just said old people are dumb. And you know they are, and I'm sick of no one agreeing with me about that. I was at, I think my producer was there too. We were at this restaurant up north, and the power had just gone out a few hours earlier. So this restaurant was full of people. It's usually pretty busy. Were you there, Adam?
Yeah.
He was. So we were at this restaurant. The power had gone out because it was this huge rainstorm, and it's really busy. They're really backed up. Their system had gone down. So anyone listening is thinking, oh, that sucks. Sucks for the workers. It's not their fault. The power went out. They had no control over that. So if you're waiting for your food and you know it's because their system went out, you're not going to be mad, right? Maybe you're annoyed, but it's not their fault. Well, this old lady that was up there with her dumb poodle hair and her fake teeth, dentures, I'm sure, was complaining to the waitress and saying like, this is outrageous. This is taking too long. And the waitress kept saying, oh, I know, our system's down. Everybody else is waiting. You know, take a seat. And this old lady kept getting up and yelling at this poor waitress as if she's going to do anything about it. Oh, I'm getting all heated talking about these old ladies. I mean, if you're telling me that you don't hate the sound they make, you know, old people go like, why does every old person go like they're really going to die? And I don't understand it. There was this one lady I used to go to church with. This made me laugh, dude, every single time. I went to church, and there was this one old lady. She was really nice, so I guess I feel bad, but whatever, she's still old. She had the classic white poodle afro that these white ladies have, the really white hair. And every single time in class, they'd be like, they'd be like, okay, can everybody hear? And everyone would say, yep. And then you'd hear her, no. There's one person from the very back's like, it's too quiet. You know, you're not loud enough. It was so annoying, but whatever. I guess I shouldn't be complaining about everything right off the bat, because anybody who knows me and is listening to this, I probably lost them. I lost all of them. It's funny to think about people you went to high school with or people who think that they know you and they picture you a certain way are probably a little bit surprised to hear that I just have nothing but complaints and negative things to say about a lot of stuff. But realistically, whatever. Who cares, you know? Speaking of people from high school, I thought this was cool. I was just at the gym the other day with a buddy of mine. And the location that is closest to his house is the one that I go to with him sometimes. And there's a lot of people that I used to go to school with that go to this location. And I saw this one person we went to school with that was friends with my buddy that I was working out with, but not really with me. And the kid came over to my friend, talked to him, and then he started talking to me. I thought that was cool. I mean, he didn't have to act like he knew who I was, but he was cool about it. And I always think that that's admirable. I have such a hard time when people think they're so cool and they're like, oh, what? Like, yeah, I think maybe we knew each other. It's like, dude, come on, you know, get over yourself. But it's funny. I was thinking about this at the gym and I don't know who's out there that can answer this for me. I guess I'll just have to talk to like a psychiatrist. Tell me if this is racist, okay? I was at the gym and I really like to listen to hip hop, rap music. I love it a lot. And I don't know why I did this, but I'm at the gym working out next to this huge black guy. And is it bad that I wanted him to see the music I was listening to so he'd respect me a little bit more? Kendrick Lamar has his new song out and it's really good. And I like put my phone down because I set it on the ground and I kind of like wanted the screen to stay on so this guy could see I was listening to some good shit so he could think more of me. But whatever, it's fine. At least I'm not one of those guys at the gym that just screams no matter how much weight he's doing. Guess what, man? Hate ya. Get out of the gym. I don't want you here benching 135 screaming. Are you hurt? Do you need me to call the ambulance or do you need a spotter? Or your tiny penis? Because I think it's the last one. If I'm being honest, I already answered the question for you. I'm getting so mad. There's always that one guy that comes in with a little spaghetti strap tank top, nips out on the side, not even that jacked, screaming when he does a lift. And the gym I go to, I don't know how everybody else's gyms are. The gym I go to is pretty packed all the time. And there's a lot of really jacked guys in there. So this guy screaming only wants to be noticed. And I think everybody knows that this guy just wants attention. And it's very easy to tell. It makes me laugh how now that I'm thinking about it, there's so many stereotypical gym people that go to the gym. At least here where I go. There's the huge, obviously steroided guy that's just insanely throwing weight around and he'll come over when you're done with your max and he'll be like, you can leave it on, it's my warm-up. I'm like, all right, man, you don't have to throw it in my face. There's the screamer guy. There's the middle-aged dad that wears fingerless gloves and like biker shorts with a little too tight on the penis area. It makes me very uncomfortable. And then, why the fingerless gloves? I mean, are you Ash Ketchum from Pokemon? What do those do, huh? Don't give you calluses, I guess. Whatever. There's that guy. There's the girl with like the Gymshark leggings with so much butt hanging out and she points it at people and then feels weird or acts like people are looking at her, but that's what she wants. Oh man, the gym is funny, man. Everyone goes to the gym and everybody thinks all these people like want to be noticed for their own little thing that they're doing. And then they act like it's annoying that people are paying attention to them. And I think that's hilarious, but I love going to the gym. I love watching people. I'm one of those guys that, I don't know what's wrong with me actually. I have a lot wrong with me, but in between my sets, I'm listening to music and I have my phone there and stuff, showing off to the black guy next to me, of course. But I just kind of look around because it's a spectacle every single day at the gym. And the number one worst guy at the gym of all time is the like calisthenics guy. You know what I mean? There's always one guy that balances like dumbbells on top of each other and then tries to do like push-ups on top of them from way high up in the air as if that's doing anything different from just doing a normal push-up. And there's this one guy that used to go to my old gym. Oh, this makes me laugh so hard. There's this guy that used to go to my old gym and he would do like, you know those yoga balls that are cut in half? Do you know what I'm talking about, Adam? Those yoga balls that are cut in half that have like the handles on it? He would do one of those cut in half yoga balls for each leg. So he'd stand on them, but he has one on each individual foot. And then he would do, like I said, he would do like balancing weights on top of each other, but he wasn't doing push-ups. He would like push them in the air. It was so weird. But what did he, and coincidentally, this guy was also the fingerless gloves, too tight biker shorts guy. So he doubled up there. I kind of miss that, I guess. It makes me want to go back to that old gym just to sightsee and see what the heck's going on. But I don't know. There's a lot of crazy people. One of the worst things about the world now, that's also kind of the best, is all the maniacs, all the crazy people. And where I live, there's not very many homeless people or like cracked out people, but they're there for sure. And whenever they come out, and none of those people go to the gym, but they're the same type of people. Whenever there's a homeless person or a crackhead person around, they always make for a good entertainment. I think this was like a year ago. I was at my house and my wife comes inside and goes, can you deal with that lady in our backyard? I'm like, what? So I stand up, there's this lady, and she says, there's a lady in our backyard. She's cracked out. She's like half naked. She's ranting about her dog is lost in our backyard. So I stand up, I go back there. This lady comes over to me, kind of runs over. And let me explain what we're dealing with here. She's 50 years old, probably 5'5", 250 pounds. She has long, frizzy, messy hair. It kind of looks like if Hermione Granger had married that Russian son of a bitch. What was his name? The guy that's like the cool guy from the other school. And that's her future if she would have married that guy. What's that guy's name? Victor Crumb. That's his name. If she would have married Victor Crumb and he would have just smoked all day, they would have got a divorce and she would have ended up in my backyard. That's his name, right? Victor Crumb? Yeah, that's so funny. So this crazy lady, she looks very disheveled and messy. She's wearing this weird dress, gown thing, this like spaghetti strap dress, but it's kind of ripped and like leaving her shirt ripped open. And she has these huge Renaissance fair tits that it was not a good thing. I did not want to see them. I did not want her looking like this. I'm like, all right, let's get this lady out of here. You know, I lived in Mexico. I dealt with homeless, drunk people all day, every day. And she's like, have you seen my dog? My dog, Harrison, he's a little orange dog. He's back here. I go, no, he's not back here. I don't know how she got in my backyard. She goes, yeah, he is. He told me. I go, who told you? I go, Harrison, the dog, told me he's back here. I'm like, okay, cool. So you're crazy. I go, you know what? I'll help you find him. I kind of lead her out of my backyard, start walking towards the main road with her. And then she just keeps talking to me about, can you help me find him? Can you let me know? Let me know if you see him. And I said, I actually think I know where he is. I go, you do? And I get on the main road. It's a main street. I don't know how many lanes. It's huge though. And I point down the road where a dog park is a few miles down. And I said, you know, there's a dog park a few miles that way. Maybe he's there. And she goes, oh, there is, maybe. I said, actually, he told me he's there. And she said, really? Cool. And so I, you know, push her off into the main road and say, okay, just walk that way. And I go inside. I'll be honest, I'm feeling pretty good about myself. I got rid of the problem of our backyard. I locked the gate so we don't have to deal with it again. And I go inside and my wife's like, well, what happened? What'd you do? And I tell her, she said, wait, you just let her go? Don't you think you should call the cops? I said, oh, fine, I guess I'll call the cops. Maybe it's, you know, she's crazy, so she's in danger or whatever. I call the police and I tell them the story. And as soon as I give a description of the lady, the police officer lady who's on the phone with me says, oh, she says, I know who you're talking about. We're actually looking for her. So now I'm knees deep into a good mystery. You know, I feel like I'm watching, this is back to what I was saying at the beginning. I feel like I'm in a TV show. Like I'm watching one of my dad's Criminal Minds or NCIS or something. It's starting to get good. It's getting interesting. So I stay on the phone with the police officer. I go to find this homeless lady. And I get in my car to drive down the street and find her. As I'm driving down, I see her stand. I mean, she's a mile away, not that far. I see her standing at the gate of a huge, nice gated community right by my house. And to give you some perspective, give you an idea, this gated community is all like brick, whatever, cinder block walls around it with just a main gate that's too tall. It's a huge gate and you can't like step through it. I don't know how to explain it. It's a big, nice closed gate. So this lady is standing in front of the gate, kind of trying to get in. I tell the police officers, like, okay, I see her and she's at this address in front of this gated community, but I passed her because I was driving, you know, so I had to do a U-turn. And I do a U-turn, I turn around, and now I can't see this lady. I pull up in front of the gated community, I don't see her. I look down the street, and she's not that way, she's not the other way. I don't know where she is. And then I see, through the gate of the community, she's inside the gate. I didn't see any cars drive. She's inside the gate, and I see her talking to just some... She knocked on the first door in the first house right in there, and she's talking to this poor lady. And I tell the police officer, oh, she's inside. And the police officer says to me, isn't she like 50 years old? Like she thinks that she climbed over, which made me laugh. So I pull up and I sit there kind of watching this lady and I'm waiting for the cops to show up. And a car drives up, goes into the gate. The homeless lady walks back out towards me because she sees me parked there. She comes over to me and starts talking to me about her dog. And she, of course, doesn't recognize me, even though it's been 5 minutes. Starts asking me the same things. Have you seen my dog? He's a little orange dog named Harrison. And he told me he's here. I go, oh, no, you know, I don't. And I'm on speaker with the cops. And the homeless lady starts freaking out. And she starts calling her dog's name. And she's like, come here, buddy, come here. Talking, just looking at nothing. And I'm like, you know. And the lady goes, he's right there. Don't you see him? He's right there. And the cop says to me, because she can hear. The cop says to me over speaker, sir, I promise you there's no dog. Like this lady knows. I'm like, oh, don't worry. You know, I don't see anything either. The homeless lady starts to get sad. She's like, oh, you don't see him? Oh, I must be losing my mind. I'm like, well, yeah, you know, could have told you that. So I get her in the shade. I sit her down. I get her some water. Oh, this is the best part. This makes me so happy. The police officer on the phone tells me, oh, they see you. So I look, there's a big cop car pulling up. So I say, yeah, I see the cops. Thanks for helping me. And the lady says, no problem. You have a good day. Hangs up. I hang up the phone with the police officer. I'm sitting on the side of the road with this homeless lady. And the big cop car that was pulling up kind of pulls into the bike lane up onto the curb right next to us. The homeless lady starts getting mad. She's stressed out. She's annoyed the cops are here. She's mad at me like I tricked her, which I did. And, you know, whatever. She's right. She's getting all stressed out. And I'm thinking, great. She is on the run for something. They've been, and you know, they're said they're looking for her. Now she's on the run. She's get caught. Oh, this makes me so happy. She's so mad, right? So just remember, she's all mad because the cops are there. The police officer gets out of the car. It's this older guy, older cop, perfect cop guy. He has a mustache, sunglasses on. He says to the lady, he says, Eileen, I've been looking for you. And she gets all mad and seems all annoyed. And he slaps the back of his car. He pats the back of his car and says, I got Harrison back in the back seat here waiting for you. This old lady hops up and skips and all happy runs over to the car and gets in the car. Cop slams the door and looks at me and kind of like gives me a salute and he goes, I'll take it from here. And he drives off. Oh, it made me laugh so hard. So here's my question. I wonder if because this lady is obviously crazy. Oh, but also here's another thing. As she was walking to the cop's car, I realized something. You remember the dress that was kind of ripped open and I could see her bra through and it would look like this weird dress gown thing. And the cops said they were looking for her. Well, I noticed that the dress she was wearing was a hospital gown. So this lady escaped the mental hospital or something. And not to mention she was wearing these like slip-on Vans, you know, like they wear in a psych ward. So I wonder if the cop did not have the dog in the back of the car, but I wonder if she saw the dog back there or if she got in and started freaking out, but it's too late. Or maybe he had the canine unit dog back there and there's nothing she could really do about it. Oh man, that actually makes me want to leave my backyard gate unlocked a few more times to see if I can get something else going on. Because that was entertaining for sure. And I don't know, I mean, this lady escaped. Does anyone else remember the movie Good Burger? That, when I saw this lady running around and in her hospital gown, it made me think of in Good Burger, if no one knows, it's a movie by Nickelodeon from, my childhood, with Keenan and Kel, those two guys that did like the sketch show, but then now there were these two actors in this. I think they both do SNL now, or just one of them. Eh, it doesn't matter. But in that movie, the end of it, they end up going to this like psych mental hospital for some reason. I don't remember the whole movie. I should watch that. It's been a long time. But in that movie, they trick the guards when they're in the hospital. They break out. They free all the inmates, and they're all just running around. And so I like to think that the lady that was in my backyard was just one of those people that were dancing around with Keenan and Kel from Good Burger. Man, that was a good movie. Every once in a while, I think back to the old TV shows and movies of our childhoods, and I swear they don't make them like they used to. Well, they make them better than they used to, but back in the day, it's funny to talk to people about movies from your childhood because a lot of people have shared movies, you know, that they'd watched when they were a kid, they saw at a certain age, and a lot of people have never heard of, like, your favorite movies, you know? One of my favorite movies when I was a kid, and in my house as well, I don't remember when it came out. It was this old Disney movie called Blank Check. I don't know who's watched that movie, if anyone even knows what I'm talking about. My producer said that he hasn't seen it. Basically what it is, and I'm going to complain about it. I'm going to rant about Blank Check. I'll try to be fast. Basically what this movie is about is it starts off with a man who had just robbed a bank or something. And had this huge duffel bag full of money. Here's what happened. He just escaped prison, and he goes to find his secret stash of money from when he stole it or something happened. That's what got him in prison. So he goes and gets his money. He runs away. Turns out this guy put his money into a bank and whatever. This guy ends up running over a kid's bike later in the movie. And because there's a lot of people around and this man just escaped prison, he gets really nervous. He wants to get out of there and people are yelling at him and talking about how he almost killed the kid. He writes the kid a check to cover the cost of the bike and he leaves it blank. And he tells the kid, your dad will know what to do with this. He gives it to him. So the kid who gets his bike run over is the main character of the movie. He's probably 11 years old. And for some reason, he's just obsessed with money. Asks for money for his birthday. Constantly complains about how he has no money. Even his dad, when they go to Six Flags, his dad gives him like $4 to go on rides. And the kid's like, oh, I don't have enough money to do anything. I'm a stupid nerd. I have no money. You know, just pouting the whole time. So when he gets his bike run over and he gets the blank check, he decides to do something really cool and just commit fraud. And he goes and makes this check fake. He goes and he gets on his computer and he makes the check say $1 million on the check. So he makes it look all real and he has it printed out on the check and he goes into the bank to cash this check for $1 million, which, by the way, dumb idea. You think they're going to do that? But he goes to the bank, he goes to cash the check, and turns out this bank is working with this criminal. So the bank thinks that the kid's in on it, coming to get the money from this guy. They think, oh, why would this criminals send the check in if it weren't part of the plan, you know, the whole thing. So the kid goes in the back. The bank gives him the money in a duffel bag to this like 10-year-old kid. And now he just goes, I mean, this movie's in the 90s. So $1 million is a lot more. This kid goes and he buys, here's where the complaints start. I mean, the whole movie's kind of a scam, but he buys a house, a huge mansion for like $200,000, which is not even close to realistic. He buys a, what, I'm jumping around so much because I'm getting all flustered about it. He buys these things under this fake, like, I don't even know the word. He makes up this fake personality called Mr. McIntosh because that's the computer he was on when he made the fake check. So he creates this personality, this fake person named Mr. McIntosh, who's this big, big wig millionaire with all this money. And so he goes and he buys the house over the phone. I don't know how they got the money from this kid without thinking that. It doesn't make any sense. So he buys this house. He buys like a go-kart track in his backyard. He buys all these video games and all this movies and all this fun stuff. And he tells his parents that he got a summer job working for some guy named Mr. McIntosh. And they just let him go and live at this house. So they think he's living at this guy's house, this millionaire, and like helping him buy toys and stuff. It's so weird. Has such a weird Michael Jackson vibe to it, to where why would his parents let him stay at some random guy's house that they don't know who he is, and they The guy's giving his kid money and they don't care. It's so weird. But as a kid, I loved this movie because the main character buys all this fun stuff. He blows all this money. He's just playing, messing around. But the problem is, the bank, I mean, the police start to realize that there's some fishy stuff going on. Who's this person spending all this money? We've never heard of Mr. McIntosh. We don't know how this house got paid for, how this go-kart track got paid for, all the stuff that the kid just paid in cash, which is also so weird. So the police start to investigate this super attractive police officer, at least to the kid, thinks she's very attractive, starts like, oh, I just spoiled the whole thing. I mean, who cares? If you haven't seen this movie, then whatever. This lady goes on a date with Mr. McIntosh only to find out that it's just the kid there. And he says, oh, Mr. McIntosh is busy, can't. And so the lady hangs out with him. Turns out this lady's an undercover cop trying to figure out this guy and meet him and find out where to get all his money from because it seems really fishy, right? So the kid keeps covering for Mr. McIntosh, who, guess what, doesn't exist. The kid's Mr. McIntosh. He's hanging out with this lady, taking her all these places, buying her a bunch of ice cream, taking her on the go-kart track, and they're starting to hang out a little often, which is getting pretty weird because he's 11, and this lady's 35 or something, but he thinks she's hot, of course. And they start to have this weird friendship where the lady tells the kid, like, call me when you're older, like, talk to me in 10 years when you're... It's so weird, dude. They go in these... They're, like, running around in the fountains. They live in New York or something, and they're having a bunch of fun and dancing around. It's so weird that this lady would hang out with this 12-year-old kid, and then basically at the end of the movie, they find out that the guy doesn't exist. It's the kid with the money. The cops take all the money and the things, and the criminal gets all mad, and he goes back to jail. It's this whole thing. But at the end, they're sitting around the house. The kid's sad that he got in trouble. The cop lady who's been hanging out with him the whole time, she announces that she's an undercover cop this whole time to the kid. They're sitting there hanging out. She's consoling him. And he tells her, I'm sad because I think I love you and I'm going to miss you. And guess what she does, dude? Okay, she leans into him and gives him a kiss. This 35-year-old lady kisses this 12-year-old boy on the lips, by the way. And then they like, and he's all happy and it's like this huge, big, happy moment. And she leaves and just doesn't go to jail. It's so weird. And I thought that was normal. As a 12-year-old kid, I'm like, oh, that could be me. That's all I have to do is steal a bunch of money and then I'm going to get a kiss from some 35-year-old lady. That's so weird that she did that. And Disney just didn't think it was, I mean, all of the executives at Disney sat around and were like, oh no, this is okay. There's nothing wrong with this. And I think about that almost every day, about how weird that is and how they couldn't do that now. But I don't know. That was really rambling and jumping around, but I'm very passionate about how strange that movie is. And it makes me want to watch it. My wife hasn't seen it yet. I mean, Adam here told me he hasn't seen it yet. So it looks like we're having a, after this podcast, I'm going home and having a blank check movie night and we're watching this and I'm taking notes and I'm calling the cops when the lady kisses the boy, because that's so weird. But old movies and shows are the best, man. It's so funny to look back, watch these old things after years. Because as a kid, you think they're a certain way, you think they're hilarious, you think they're whatever, well done. And you watch it years later and you realize, man, that was weird. That was inappropriate. They shouldn't have done this or that. And one of my favorite examples of that, besides Blank Check, is a movie that is so important to my family. And again, I don't know if Adam has seen this one. I mean, Master of Disguise, have you seen that? So there's this movie called Master of Disguise that's so important to my family. And what the movie, it's a Dana Carvey movie. If you don't know him, he's a comedian. And what the movie is Dana Carvey is this guy named Pistachio Disguisey. His family is professional disguisers. They disguise themselves as people in order to like steal art and like be whatever and this whole thing. And I'm not going to go into it because I just went on a rant about Blank Check, but it's one of the staples of my family's and my sense of humor. It's such a funny movie. I remember all these things about it, and it's so like, it's iconic in my family and a group of friends I grew up with as well. And I'm scared to watch it because I looked it up recently and it got on Rotten Tomatoes a 3% on Rotten Tomatoes. So it's certifiably like one of the worst movies of the early 2000s, but I don't accept that. I disagree wholeheartedly. So I don't want to go back and watch it because it'll just ruin my childhood. But one of these days, I still have to show my wife because she hasn't seen it yet. But I'm nervous she's going to hate it. So we'll see if I ever show her. Man, I just went on a real rampage on those old movies from my childhood. But it was pretty good. I kind of mentioned in the beginning when I introduced the podcast that it was just going to be me. And really, this is just going to be the rantings of a lunatic, realistically. You know, whatever I think of, I'm just going to go off on a tangent about it. But it's been pretty good. It's been a good episode so far. We've been going for a while. Adam, how long have we been going?
Like 40 minutes.
Okay. Oh, by the way, I'm talking to my producer, Adam. I know I didn't introduce him, so I guess I should at the end. Yeah, it's gone pretty well. I'm excited to do this more. I had a lot of fun. I think I'm just going to end it here. Call it an episode. If you made it this far, I don't know how you did, but congratulations. You've earned yourself some bidet time at my house. So come on over, take a shit, and let's do it again next week, huh? And bring a friend next time. In all seriousness, there's a million podcasts. It'd mean a bunch to me if you could recommend it to anybody who is also as messed up in the head as I am and would be interested. You can follow me on Instagram at Jordan R. Quent, or the podcast Instagram at Quintessential Pod. Stoked to hang out with you guys some more. See you next week. Bye.